Welcome back to a brand new Creative Encounter Podcast episode. I am your host, Juett C. Payne, and you are back for episode 61 of this podcast. Welcome. If this is your first time on YouTube, go ahead and subscribe, hit the bell. We drop an episode every single week. If you are a recurring listener and watcher, thank you so much. Love you guys so much. And if you are kind of dabbling in between and you want to jump on board, please go ahead and subscribe, like I mentioned. And remember, we are a nonprofit. So if you want to support this ministry monthly, I would absolutely love that. Link is in the description below. But without further ado, I am here with a great friend. When we connected today, we're like, it's been a couple of years.
It has been. It's
since
been
we connected, this is crazy. So this is my guy, Austin Detman. He is a musician and a music director. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. Glad to be back here in Chicago.
Yes, sir, man. Sure. So good. Yeah, I love how you just went straight to it because I was going to talk about back here in Chicago. So tell the people
exactly
where you have been. What have you been up to?
Yeah. I've been touring with this little production called Hamilton for the past 3 years.
Crazy,
as the associate music director on the Angelica tour. So been traveling all around the conterminous U.S. for, latter part of 3 years. Yeah. And then it closed back in June, so I've been back here in Chicago, my hometown, ever since.
Yes, sir. So, dude, that's insane. So let me tell y'all what Austin did to me, y'all. Mm-hmm. Let me tell y'all what my guy did to me. So my business, Starving Artist Courses. So Austin was a part of it. He's going to teach music. I think the, was it Beat It or was it like... We were going to do a Michael Jackson song.
Mm-hmm.
You had your Nord.
Yep.
And you know where the Nord is, the Lord is.
Yeah, absolutely.
We already know that. So he brought his Nord over. We're 100%. About to start shooting these lessons. And he's like, oh, Juett, I don't think I could do this because I'm about to go on tour with Hamilton or whatever. I'm like, what? Bro, go do your thing. But I'm like, man, this is my guy. So crazy.
I didn't mean to leave it too high and dry. Yeah. But it was also like, they were like, hey, could you join us in 2 weeks?
Yep.
I'm like,
I remember that.
Guess so. I found myself driving over to the East Coast in a blizzard.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Wow.
So it was very fast.
Drove.
I drove the whole tour.
Was it New York?
It was where was it? It was somewhere. It was Philly. It was Philadelphia.
Philly, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, wow.
So basically drove over there in an ice storm, thought I might die, and then we made it over. It was good.
Wow.
So did that for 4 months, just kind of learned how everything was working, because that was the first time I ever did a major tour.
Yeah.
And so I didn't really know what I was doing, but I knew the music, and that's the only thing I needed to know, essentially.
Yeah.
And then, went to a few different cities kind of down the East Coast, and then COVID happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so then came back home and just kind of picked up where I left off.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Okay, so you have to, so now we're going to backtrack a bit.
Of course.
So to get to that level, because us as artists, you don't want to be able to have those opportunities, depending on how far you want to go into your musicianship.
Mm-hmm.
We want to go to those places and have those different opportunities,
Yeah.
So we want to take it back to how did you first kind of get into music, and then the phase of, man, this is what I really want to do.
Right.
And then to make those connections and kind of really just be going on tour with such a great production,
Well, the funny thing about that is, so I always knew music was the thing that stuck, right? So I did a bunch as a kid growing up. Yeah. I was involved in acting lessons. I thought I might go into acting as a full-time thing.
Mm-hmm.
I did gymnastics. Yeah. I took these art classes. Yeah. I actually got very into video production and, graphic design, that kind of thing.
Yep.
And so music was the only thing that really stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as Hamilton goes, I had no idea. I had no idea I'd be touring on a theatrical production as a full-time musician. But essentially, I started playing piano at the age of 6, and I had enough people tell me, hey, don't quit, because I quit and I regret it. People always told me that they regretted quitting. Yeah. So I thought, okay, I won't quit. I promise, I won't do that.
Yeah.
So just kept playing piano, and then, as the years went by, I got some opportunities to play in my local church band. I was actually playing drums in that band.
Yeah,
so I taught myself drums for a little while. And then, ended up getting to the college level. I kind of started playing some small time gigs here and there, just local stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of had to make a decision. Am I going to study music at the college level or do this video production thing?
Mm-hmm.
Because you were
doing video production pretty seriously, too, at the
same time. Yeah, I was an intern at this church called Harvest Bible Chapel at the time, and I was making the most money I'd ever made at that point in my life. It was $20 an hour, and I was living it.
Yes,
it was awesome.
Yeah.
But I remember sitting in an editing room at one point, and I was like, man, the only thing I want to do is be playing piano now.
Mm.
And making $0. Like, I didn't care about the money at that point. And then I just, it just kind of clicked, like, wait, I guess that means I should do music if I don't care about the money. Because, you know, usually money speaks, right? Wow. So I kind of realized there, like, that's probably what I should do. That's just crazy. Do music. So then I was going to community college at that time. And so I was doing all my gen eds and a couple music classes here and there. So I decided, all right, music's going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to, I was thinking about going to Berkeley. Mm-hmm. But then I realized how much it costed.
Yeah.
And as a musician.
Now, Berkeley in New York?
Yeah, Berkeley College of Music. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, exactly. New York. Because isn't there one overseas?
I think, they have like a different campus overseas.
Yeah,
which somewhere.
One here in the States. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Right here in good old US of A, you know? But I looked at their tuition price. And I'm like, nope.
Yeah, yeah.
Not gonna do that.
Not with this $20 an hour. Like,
no, okay. It's not gonna work.
Not gonna work.
Oh man. So I went to the poor man's Berkeley, as it was called at the time, which is Columbia College Chicago.
There we go.
Did that for 3 years. Graduated with a degree that basically qualifies me for nothing other than, you know, okay, I know how to do music. There you know, I can play my instruments.
Yeah.
And then I was playing percussion. So getting around to the Hamilton thing, connecting it all.
Yeah.
So I played some freelance stuff, you know, here in Chicago. I played at church. I played for some weddings, did some random things. Couple of theatrical productions, but nothing crazy, right? I think I played something at the Royal George Theater, York High School, close by here in Elmhurst. Yeah. Just like, you know, things, kind of like cutting my teeth there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I played percussion in my dad's horn band just for fun. Yeah. It was called Real Horns.
Hey,
technically still exists.
Cool.
And so I was playing percussion, wasn't making any money, of course, or anything like that. It was just for fun.
Yeah.
But the drummer for that band was the percussionist for Hamilton when it opened in Chicago.
Wow.
That was back in 2016.
Okay.
And so he was looking for a substitute because, you know, he wanted to be able to have the flexibility. Technically percussion, so they have a drummer, but they have a percussionist who plays like this sample pad, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sample pad, and then, you know, a keyboard, and then a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed a sub.
Yeah.
He had trouble finding a sub because the book required keyboard, which pretty much all, I guess, the percussionists he knew at the time didn't play keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of was a unique fit for me at the time, playing percussion, but also keyboard.
Yeah.
And so he asked me, like, do you want to, you know... his name's Jim Wadlowski, and he asked me if I wanted to be his sub.
Wow.
And I initially was kind of, you know, I was hesitant because I was a full-time student at the time, and I was doing other things, and I kind of said, like, I think I'm gonna pass.
Wow.
Now, I didn't know. No, so Hamilton had just won all of its Tonys at that time. It was, like, blowing up in the process of him asking.
So you've heard it here that Austin turned down Hamilton.
I heard turned down Hamilton. Probably the first person ever to turn it down.
Wow. Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Probably.
Probably. Wow.
And then, but then he's like, well, it pays $450 a show. And I was like, I'll learn it.
Yeah.
I'll do it. Got to pay for
it. I just learned it right now.
Yeah. I actually know it. Just throw me in, coach. Do that.
No
way. I'm going to pay for this school somehow, right? So,
So the connection, I'm just always amazed at how God connects things, dude.
Absolutely.
Always amazed.
Yeah.
You don't even know.
Mm-hmm.
So you're playing with your dad in his band.
Yep.
And this guy was playing in your dad's band.
Mm-hmm. And it was just all for fun. It wasn't they did maybe one performance per year at that.
But why would he ask you to sub unless he saw your skill set?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You were in position. You were equipped. That's what I'm saying. That's why I tell you guys, you have to, you never know. You want to be ready in season and out of season. That's what the scriptures tell us, right?
Yeah.
So with that, it's like you keep working in the behind the scenes, working on your craft.
Yeah.
Just every day, just still working on whoever that was that told you don't quit. You took that to heart. You're like, I'm still going to be practicing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And God was preparing you for something
exactly.
to come.
Little did I know at the time.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I've also heard it said too, like, you don't prepare yourself for your next gig.
Mm-hmm.
You prepare yourself for the gig after that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always trying to be one step ahead. So, like, if I would have done, let's say, the bare minimum to be, you know, playing percussion in my dad's band and just, like, barely learning the songs, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go above and beyond, you know, I brought in some tracks and click and loops and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did all this keyboard programming. I was like into it. I was learning the songs and listening to them on repeat and like trying to do everything I could to like really make everything the best I could.
Yeah.
And not to pat myself on the shoulder too much about it. But I do feel like that, as you're saying, like you're preparing yourself for what's next.
Yes.
So I... In one sense, like earned that opportunity before it was even given.
Yeah.
So it's totally right.
Yeah. And you have to look at God as like, he's not detached or separate from our natural realm here.
Right.
So what that is that as you're working for the Lord, because he's observing, he's seeing, okay, like he's our manager, he's our Lord, you know? So as you're working.
I like manager. That's
good. You know what I'm saying? Like literally, you know, especially in music, he's literally our manager. So if he's watching and seeing your caliber and where you're at, then he'll bring these opportunities. But if he's just sitting there and just hoping or just like, oh, I'm going to pick up this instrument when whatever, then it's like, okay, this isn't going to be for them.
Right.
And so he's managing all of that stuff around us. So we got to pay attention to that and like really just, you said, equip ourselves.
Yeah.
Just be ready and you know, have yourself approved for the situation to come, you know, the opportunity to come.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Wow, that's so good, man. I love it. So it shows your dad then who, kind of had that creative touch that kind of fed onto you.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, you know, huge influence growing up. Yeah. I mean, he was always playing, you know, when everyone else was listening to, I don't know, whatever. Yeah. Like, he was listening to Steely Dan and, like, all this other, like, I guess more intricate type music. I mean, he listened to ZZ Top, too. It's not like it was all refined. You know, the band Chicago and just, like, a very, I would say, like, an eclectic, you know, it was a wide palette of music growing up.
Yeah, and same. So, like, I love, you know, me and the boys would listen to Spotify all the time. And my 7-year-old, you know, this boy has such a great musical ear. He's like, he's like, Papa, I love like the rhythm that they're playing on this section.
Yes,
right here.
Okay.
And he's like, oh, I love this part. Like when they, because he recognizes, you know, we got our standard, you know, major scale or whatever. But he's doing those little funky chords in between the chords.
Yes.
So he's hearing all of that stuff, dude.
Oh, good.
I'm like, he's so good.
That's awesome.
He's going to be stellar.
Like. Yeah, man, the kids are like sponges too. Like everything you give them, they just like, they learn it and they remember it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. And mentioning that, we were just talking about, homeschool. You know, we were just sitting there just talking about, you know, how we homeschool the kids. And you were saying you're homeschooled as well.
That's right.
That's awesome, dude. I was telling you before how, like, I can see that because literally those who are homeschooled have those opportunities, have that freedom in their mind of just like, not these like restrictions. You can just go for it. You teach your kids to just go for it. It's so open, you know? And then and we're shifting out of how we structured and did school, because it takes a shift for the parents too when you go into this field. Because you're like, it doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to start and stop at this time. We don't have to stay here at this desk. We could be out at this place and do things. Today's class can be exploring the world or whatever.
Right,
you have total freedom to do whatever you want and everything.
I highly endorse it too, because like I don't know, I've been thinking about this a lot recently too. Mm-hmm. Like when you take a whole bunch of kids and then you sit them down. First of all, kids, they want to explore.
Yeah.
And they need to like feel things. They need to see things. And when you sit them down in a classroom and they're at a desk and it's like, pay attention now. It's like you lose that sense of wonder, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
Homeschooling is so much better.
Yeah, it's so good.
It's just better, y'all.
Yeah. I know, exactly. Better. It truly is. It truly is. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you follow, there's this guy who's amazing on YouTube. His name is Myron Golden.
Okay, I don't know if I've
heard him, he's a believer. He used to be a pastor. He's a business coach.
Nice.
And he just be putting business and the word, he breaks it down and all that stuff. You know.
Okay.
And what he does is he calls schools kind of like child prisons. That's literally what he calls
it. Couldn't be more accurate.
He's like, y'all can keep.
Couldn't be more
accurate. Y'all can literally keep, you know, call it whatever you want or whatever stuff. But that's what it is because it's not
for
training.
8 hours a day?
Yeah. That's how we started the school year. We started the school year. They were coming home after being gone all day. Because we know what we want to do with them. They're literally musicians. Like they're going to be dropping songs. So y'all get ready. These kids are about to start dropping these songs. And we're like, they came home from school. And then Landon has all this homework.
Oh, my
And he's up till super late doing all this work. And then right away, I got so frustrated. I was telling Gabby, I'm like, no, this is not about to be our year. Like, they got to get out of this. Because there's no way the whole week we're not going to be with them. I'm leading worship at church on Sundays. And then on Saturdays, we barely see them or we're trying to work on stuff. Like, we can do so much more with them, you know?
Yes.
And right there, they were in that first month of this year. They were in it. And after that, we're like, nah, we gotta start this. So it's been great.
Wow.
It's
so you just started homeschooling?
Yeah, this year. Yeah.
Wow.
So he did kindergarten. Okay. Kindergarten, first grade, and then like a month of second grade, and then we started at home. And it's funny because Aiden, you know, we were kind of feeling sentimental because Aiden, he had just started kindergarten.
Oh,
so, you know, so we're kind of like, okay, we want to do the whole kindergarten
Dang
thing.
It.
He's getting used to his little classmates.
Right. Well, I have, I mean, a similar story. So, like, I have an older sister. She's 2 years older than I am. And, like, she went to the public school system, or I think it was like Hawthorne School or something in Elmhurst.
Yeah.
And I think she was there for maybe like, I guess 2 semesters, maybe. And like they spent 1 week on one letter of the alphabet.
Yeah.
And like she already knew her alphabet at that point. Right. So my mom, who's a certified teacher, she was like, I can do better than this. Yeah. I'm just going to homeschool my kids until it doesn't work out. And then we'll put them back in the school system. Like it wasn't like, you know, cut the cord, we're done forever. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I'm just going to do it myself because she knew she could do it better.
Yeah.
And then see how it goes.
Wow.
And then all the way through high school.
All the way through high school. You too?
Yep.
You and your sister.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's so dope. Yep. I love it. That's awesome, man. So yeah, dude. Yeah. And I see that too, just like you as a musician, you taking those opportunities and just putting yourself out there and just going hard. So it's just a blessing. It's a benefit. We'll probably do a whole nother episode on that. But,
sure, you know, sure. Yeah, yeah. So we'll make it happen.
Yeah, exactly.
2024, man.
So dude, you got to tell me. Yeah, so speaking of which, that's actually a perfect segue. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask, now that you're back here, tell me what roles that you're currently in.
Yeah.
And so pretty much like what roles are you in and what are some, you know, things that you plan to do this year specifically?
Nice. Yeah. The short answer is probably a little bit too many things on my plate, but.
Which one of us does not do
Right, exactly. Yeah, everybody's busy these days. That's true. That's true. So I'm the music director at a church called Good News in the Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing that for, it is, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Sesame Street vibes.
Yeah,
yeah,
Mr. Rogers.
Yeah. Right, yeah. When I first heard the name, I was kind of like, really?
Yeah.
But now it's like, oh yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, there we go.
So, yeah, I've been doing that so I was doing that while I was on the road with Hamilton. So I was doing a lot of like scheduling, making chord charts, you know, all the kind of like the regular things, just the week to week. And so when I, you know, exited the tour or when the tour closed, then just went back to that church. And so now I'm there and I'm doing just the music directing there. I shouldn't say just the music directing.
No, yeah, I understand.
Everything
as far
like,
as your priorities, like you're focused on music directing.
Exactly. So I get to do that, but then some other creative projects there as well. Since it's a smaller church, I get to like be like a quasi event coordinator. So I'm learning like how to manage all of that.
Yeah. Are you kind of doing like production things too? Like, I know you were doing video before back in the day.
Yeah.
Are you helping kind of with that?
There's
too?
A little bit of
just
that.
A little bit? Okay.
Yeah.
Mostly focusing on the music.
Yeah. Just trying to get the live stream to a good place and everything like that. Yeah.
So you sing too?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So are you leading on keys and vocals?
It kind of depends. So like a perfect example of this is, you know, this past Sunday, a vocalist got sick. And so I just kind of stepped in. It was very last minute. And so like, I'll do the singing. Yeah. Sure. So, you know, it's more like an if need be basis, or maybe I'll hop in on a verse here and there. But usually I'm just on the MD mic, like telling jokes to the band the whole time.
Exactly.
You know?
Yep.
So yeah, but I'll run the rehearsals and I'll do all that. And then usually call shots and stuff during the actual services.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah.
So what about so what about any personal projects? Because actually last week or a couple weeks ago, I started as worship pastor at a new church as well.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. So it was crazy because back in, thanks brother.
Yeah.
So back in 2021, I started at a church and mid-2022, I left that. And I was kind of just like, from that season, I was a little burnt out.
Sure,
I went back
sure.
to the church I was at previously, just helping on the base, being on the team.
Good.
But it's so funny because like, I'm always have that worship leader, director, in me, even though I'm just kind of in the cut. So it'll be just like a lot of opportunities where I kind of jump in like, hey, y'all, what if we did X, Y, and Z? But they remember, okay, this is the worship pastor. Okay?
Right, let's kind of handle it. You don't want to overstep your boundaries too much.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like always in my head. But you know,
you just can't help yourself.
Yeah, can't myself. And then they understand like where I'm at as an artist. So it'll be a lot of moments where they'll be like, hey, Joel, what do you think of this transition or things that we're doing in the song?
Okay,
you know, so it's a lot of that. But then this church that I'm at now last year asked me to take on this position, and it just wasn't the time at that time. I think it was because I was literally just coming out, focusing on getting my businesses at a place where they need to be, where they can kind of just walk on their own type of thing. And so crazy is, you know, things fall into place, and this opportunity came again. And this time, me and Gabby talked like, yo, I feel like now is the time to jump into this role.
Yeah.
And it's just been great, you know?
Good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. So with that, you know, so both of us kind of having that worship director position thing we're doing now, but we're also
also have our other things.
Yeah, so tell me how you kind of balance those things and if any of them kind of overlap. Like, how's the flow right now as an artist?
The flow is, at one point it was good. Not that it's not good now. I'll get to that in a moment. But like, at one point it was, you know, everything was overlapping. So like, during the Hamilton days, like, or even leading up to the Hamilton days, I was doing everything from like playing wedding gigs to like music directing here and there at like different churches in the Chicagoland area and a few different churches here and there. But then I was usually like the gospel guy, mm-hmm. at least at a few churches, mm-hmm. because, you know, just I love gospel music. Yeah, that's basically as simple as it is. So doing some of that. And then whenever I wasn't doing that, I would, like, be producing tracks for vocalists mm-hmm. and bands and laying keys down for some various songs. So mm-hmm. everything was kind of overlapping like that. And then Hamilton happened. And so mm-hmm. everything was basically, like, Hamilton first. Everything else can be a bonus, right? Yeah. But I did travel with, like, a mobile studio type mm-hmm. setup. Nothing like this, which, mm-hmm. by the way, great studio.
Oh, thanks,
this
brother.
Is awesome. Y'all, I don't know if y'all can see. Like, you all can see this. This is gorgeous. But everything around here is just, very
It's funny because
nice.
We actually just did an episode where we did a walkthrough on how to create a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because people have messaged me, people who are guests on here after the show, be like, how do you set up your podcast? I'm like, let me do an episode where I actually walk through the whole setup.
That's good, because everybody wants to do a podcast.
Yeah, right.
Everybody wants to do a podcast, which is so funny. So had my mobile studio on the mm-hmm. road and then did as much of that as I could. Yeah. You just based on availability. Mm-hmm. So post-road, basically, as soon as I got back to town, mm-hmm. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to start flying planes.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like a sidestep a little bit.
Yeah, he literally just told me this, like, today. I'm like, what? We got to talk about this on the episode.
That a little bit. Yeah. So I've always been into aviation, all the time. I'd always be looking up and, you know, seeing what kind of aircraft mm-hmm. was flying over. Mm-hmm. And I would even go to airports. This is going to sound so geeky. I would go to airports with binoculars and with a radio. And I would listen and watch the planes, like, take off and land and, like, oh, look, there's that plane over there. Like, super geeky, like, plane spotting. You know, like, people sometimes they do that with, like, trains and stuff.
Wow,
that to me is, like, whatever. But I was always into planes. I don't know why. It just was. I was fascinated with it.
I mean, because you're always, you know, soaring high, bro. There's mm-hmm. no limit. You
right.
Know? There's mm-hmm. no limit. So you're just trying
the sky's the limit.
The sky's the limit. Yeah.
I had to.
I love it. You had to. It was perfect.
Sorry. Yeah. But so I was like, well, you know, after going to a few different museums and going to, you know, just enjoying mm-hmm. aviation for what it is, I guess I either got bored of it or mm-hmm. one day just decided, like, I'm going to look into flight lessons. Mm-hmm. I was actually, there's a particular moment where I was at the National World War II Museum mm-hmm. in New Orleans, mm-hmm. and there's this Boeing building where they have maybe not 10, I think like 7 or so aircraft just hanging from the ceiling.
Wow.
And
they're like straight up real aircraft.
Yeah, like actual aircraft. Oh, man, they're all
Warbirds. You probably passed out.
Probably. It's from all the stairs you got to climb to get to the top for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
And so I was reading one of the placards just about a pilot who within 1 year time frame enrolled into the armed services, did the basic training, learned how to fly the aircraft, then learned all the dogfighting tactics, and got deployed into World War II all within a year.
Wow.
And I was like, what if? What about just the airplane part?
What if I can just do that?
Just learning how to fly the darn thing. Mm. Like, how hard could it be? So that day, I went to a coffee shop, as I typically do, because I have a coffee problem.
There you go.
So I went to that shop. I looked up, how much does it cost? Yeah. I just want to know how much it costs. Yeah. And then I realized, it doesn't cost nearly as much as I thought it would.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hamilton being on the road, making that road money, mm-hmm. It was very good to me. And so I thought, you know what? I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to have this kind of opportunity financially ever again. So I better do this now.
But you will.
Because I'm a musician, you know.
Yeah. Well, I feel you. Yeah.
So I, arranged to have they call it a discovery flight, where you pay, you go up for an hour, they have you fly around. And I'm like, I actually like this.
And your co-pilot is the main mm-hmm. pilot. He's kind of walking you through.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they basically, even if you have zero flight experience, they'll just take you up. They'll let you steer the plane around. So I did that, and I'm like, I want to do this. So then once I hopped off the road, I just went full-fledged flying lessons.
Wow.
So,
how's that going?
Yeah. It's going well. I'm almost ready to get my license.
Okay.
I've done...
So this year, possibly?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, wow. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, I was hoping to get it, this month.
Okay.
But Chicago weather kind of has its own, dictation there.
Exactly.
So.
That's true.
But I've already soloed, so I've flown the plane all by myself already, so I've done that.
No, stop.
That's a big
step. You were in the sky.
I was in the sky.
Flying a plane.
Mm-hmm. By myself.
Dude, that's sick.
It's pretty cool, right?
What?
And then...
And you're not freaking out?
Oh, it was great. No, actually, the funny part about it is, while I was doing pattern work, so you take off, you circle around the runway, and then you land, basically.
Okay.
While I was doing my patterns, some bozo got on the radio and said, hey, my flaps don't work. and my elevator trim is stuck, but I think I'm okay. And the tower, the control tower was like, we're going to declare an emergency for you.
Yeah.
So I, as I was in the air, I was, you know, looking down at the ground, of course, just checking out where I am, and out roll these fire trucks. And I'm like, okay, great. So like,
I think I'll land now.
It all worked out. Yeah. And I'm like, which runway do you want me to land on now? Yeah. Because this guy's going to need the big one. So it ended up working out, and it was fine. Oh, it was just kind of a funny thing. Yeah. Like, of all days.
Of all days, the day that you're up there flying by yourself.
There's an emergency coming. Emergency flight. So that was interesting. But yeah, so I've done that. I'm preparing to go what they call cross-country flying, which is where you like take off, you land at another airport, then you go to another airport. Yeah. So yeah. It's
That's
good stuff.
So cool, man. Mm-hmm. Love it. Cool.
It's expansive, but once I get through this phase, it'll be better.
I love it.
That's yeah, cool. It's fun though.
Nice. And it's funny because this year, we want to take the boys on like their first flight. They haven't been on a flight yet, you know. So they love the airplanes. Obviously, it's just so obviously like you talk about wonder.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, man, it's so cool. I like the airplane. They ask me questions.
Yeah.
Hey, Papa, when like the plane is going up, is it like super like tilting? I was like, no. It's not like you don't feel like you're super leaning back. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of just gliding up, nice little you know angle, and then coming down too, so you don't, it doesn't feel you know. So just gotta explain it to them, getting them ready. But
that's cool.
Definitely.
So you've been on a small plane before, or
me?
Yeah,
I've been on a small one before. Okay. I've just been on like you know if I'm going like on vacation.
Yeah. Just gotcha.
Like, but yeah, the small plane you mean just kind of like
a tiny like. It's just two I'm talking like almost the width of this table. Like
two of y'all next to each other?
Yeah.
No, I never done that yet.
Oh, okay. Do you think you'd be into that? Or
I would, but I'm like, oh no.
Well, see, the funny thing is like, you know, a lot of people will say like, yeah, I don't think I'm, a lot of people are in the middle on that.
Mm.
Like very few people will actually say, oh, I'm never doing that. Like those are metal death traps, right?
Yeah.
So like, I always tell people like, you could always just hop inside one. Mm. You can just have the pilot take you around on the ground.
Yeah.
And then if it works out, then it works out.
You know, yeah,
but
true.
If you're like, I don't like this, you don't even have to go in the air. You
try.
Just, yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe I'll take you for a ride sometime.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I would love that. Because then you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that'd be sick.
Pretty soon.
Okay,
pretty soon.
Right. Okay, so pretty much like the boys, they watch, have you heard of Blippi?
Blippi. I think I have.
It's like a kid's show on YouTube, you know, all that stuff, whatever. And he's all about vehicles.
Oh, okay.
All about vehicles. Like every song is about a vehicle. Every episode, he'll go on an airplane. He'll
People
fire
still sing
truck.
On kids' shows?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Oh, okay,
definitely.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm a little out of the loop. So.
Yeah. Of course.
But that's good.
Yeah. So dude's so dope. So like, they love seeing like the airplanes and all that stuff, you know. So
that's cool.
I think
that's
they
cool.
would enjoy it. Enjoy
okay.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take you for a ride, man.
Yeah, I would love it.
Next podcast. We'll be in the plane.
Dude, stop. You already know me. You know I'm crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I will do that. Like, we'll bring the Rode mics.
Yes.
Sit the Sony right here.
Yep.
And just, like, do our thing.
We could do it.
And talk about,
we
like...
totally do
Talk
that.
About how, like, God created the skies or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
You could pull a Michael Jackson and, like, write a song. Like, he wrote... What was that song
he wrote
on the Concorde? He wrote... I think it was, like, Human Nature or something. Or maybe not Human Nature.
Yeah.
I don't remember which song it was. Was it Human Nature?
And he was where?
He was on the Concorde aircraft, that supersonic aircraft.
Yeah, what?
He wrote a song on the Concorde.
That is
I don't
dope.
Remember
I
which
it
song
up.
It is. Yeah,
I look it
yeah.
up. It was probably something on that.
We'll put it in the notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the notes.
Yeah.
It was probably something on that Thriller album.
Yeah. I remember that at least. Yeah, it was something on the Thriller
sick.
Album.
Yeah, and we did a 40-year. I don't know if you knew. A couple years ago, 2022, 40 years of Thriller.
Oh, dang.
Yeah, 2022. So we did a whole, on CyberNerds courses, we did a whole thing teaching Thriller.
Yes.
Each instrument. It was so fun.
Yes.
It was so fun, dude. I think you were on tour.
That's
I would have
so
definitely
good.
Had you come in and like.
Oh, that would have been fun.
And handle it. But,
man,
but now you're just, back, so we can do
yes.
some stuff. Yeah.
Listen, I'm close.
Yeah, I love
I'm
it.
Close.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Cool. So tell me this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talked about church and, you know, the airplane stuff.
Yeah.
What's some maybe musical projects? I remember a few years ago you dropped an album.
Mm-hmm.
What any future things you're working on? Or
yeah,
to, or
I have a synth duo that's called Flight 328. Ironically, with the
aircraft
stuff. I guess I did plan it, whether I knew it at the time or not.
Yeah.
I will say, at that time, I didn't know I would become a pilot.
Wow.
But you know, aviation is awesome.
Baby.
So yes, foreshadowing.
Let's go.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm planning on dropping something, or at least working on a more substantial project.
Okay.
We've done a couple of EPs. We did one like debut album.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to do another like full length album. Yeah.
So this is a duet. So
yeah,
what does the other individual play?
It's Josh Freddy plays drums.
Josh Freddy
on
drums,
and he writes music too.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a nice duo.
Yeah, we'll see if Josh he wants to get on here.
Okay.
Yeah.
We could totally do that.
Yeah, hit him up. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
He could tell you about all like the touring he did with Vertical and stuff like that.
Oh wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Vertical Worship.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he toured with them for a really long time.
Wow, that's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, so he can tell you all about it.
Look at God, man.
I know.
These doors. I'm just saying, just keep operating in your gifts.
Yes.
And everything will just come into place. Like,
that's
right. The only thing that you start off, don't give up. Mm-hmm. That's so key.
Consistency.
Yeah, consistency. Because you don't see the future. Mm-hmm. The Lord does.
Right.
There's nowhere in scripture where he tells us to give up. Mm-hmm. So you literally don't know how close you are. Exactly. You can literally be a week away from that breakthrough or whatever the case, all this work that you've been. So you don't give up because the work, like, again, Myra Golden, I told you, he's like, the work, you have to work on something long enough so that the work works for you.
The work works for
the
you.
The work will work for you. So you continue to work on it. It's going to start, you're going to start seeing that fruit.
Yes. You know? Yes. And you never know, like, it makes intuitive sense to think that one's trajectory in their career or like life goals or whatever is kind of like a straight path. Mm-hmm. But I think rarely is it ever like a straight shot. Because to me, that would have meant like, oh, I went to school. Now I'm going to work with this artist. Now the artist is going to get popular. Now I'm going to become, you know, their like regular musician. And then it's going to blossom into, you know, I'm going to play stadiums. And then I'm going to start producing. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen. It was, oh, I was doing this, but I was also doing this thing, this thing. And one of those things, which had no financial prospect at all. Mm-hmm. It was just for fun. Turned out to land me like... basically the best gig I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't have planned for it. Yeah. I didn't know it. But like, as you mentioned, you do the work.
Yeah.
You like keep your head down. You focus.
Yeah.
And then you just, the opportunities will come to you. So they actually will.
Yeah, like literally.
And you won't know where.
Yeah, and you won't. And it's crazy because in God's kingdom, he says be fruitful and multiply.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say be fruitful and add.
Yeah, you
know what I'm saying? That process is just says like addition. This step leads to this step. Multiplication.
Let's go math.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Math is your favorite subject. You know what I'm saying? Mr. Z, you know, elementary school.
Okay.
But yeah, but pretty much it's this idea of like multiply, like in a garden, fruit. You sow one seed and it produces something that has multiple seeds and it continues to grow and flourish. That's how God operates, you know? So with that, it's like you continue to work and then that trajectory is just going up exponentially. Rather than just kind of like on this kind of, you know, say it's like going like this. Like got, you know, God's insane. So like there's no limits.
Right.
So yeah, you just have to just do the work. It's going to work for you. You know?
Yeah.
So good, dude. Thank you so much, man, for this fruit, this knowledge you're dropping, man.
I'm trying. I mean, look at us. It's both of us.
Come on.
This is great.
Yeah. So this is all I want to ask you.
Yeah.
So tell me. You know, because at the end of every episode, we do a segment where we just give something to the artist, to those who are watching.
I love that.
You know, and something that can, you know, spur them on, some encouragement, some life lesson that you have from your experiences that you can kind of leave with the individuals.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Is this one of those, like, if I had to tell my past self something?
Yeah, yeah.
Or, like, something
exactly
like that?
That's exactly it.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, but no pressure, though.
No pressure at all. At all. So this is for... you're talking like mainly artists or just people who have
just the viewers, for creatives.
Man, if I had to say one thing for creatives specifically is let's see if I can think of a good way to say this. Essentially, I had a songwriter, a very good friend of mine, tell me once, like, if you write 100 songs, and this isn't just for songwriters, but if you write 100 songs, one of them will probably be good. And as a songwriter, you could probably attest to maybe the 100 number, you know, depending on the person, could be different. But continually doing the thing that you desire to do, and you have it in your heart to do, like you know what it is that you want to do. And so to do that thing consistently, the consistency will always be better than the quality. That is to say, don't worry about making something good. Just worry about doing the thing.
Yes.
And over time, you will find that through iteration, multiple iterations, if you write hundreds and hundreds of songs, you'll find out very quickly, like, oh, this is the way I should be writing a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of trying to write one great song and then throwing it away. Like, the process of it is where it's at.
Oh, man, that's so good. The process, bro.
Yeah, it's really just the mundaneness of it, too. Because the mundaneness, it's not sexy. Like, being able to just, like, sit down at the piano and do scales. Like, that's not fun.
Yeah.
Like, who wants to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
But doing that for years allows you, it, like, opens the door for so many other things. So just the process of it, even if it seems boring, if it seems mundane, and even if you're making something that maybe you don't even think is good, to just keep doing it, and you'll see that through iteration, it'll get better and better.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's, so that's good, what I would say.
Yes, sir. I
enjoy the process.
That. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's so good you said process. That's such a key word. We literally started off this year. Mm. You know, the whole thing this year is 2024. So people think about Kobe. You know, mm-hmm. his number was 24 mm. and all of that stuff. So like, oh, that, and he had the whole yeah. thing, the Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, the whole process, the Mamba mentality is the process. You know, I got the banner back there. It's yes. a process of becoming the very best version of oneself.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's not comparing yourself to others and trying to be the best version compared to where someone else is. It's like, what's the best that I can be, how God made me, and mm-hmm. not limiting myself based off of myself and what I could be doing, you know,
yeah.
and working through that process. It's not the end goal.
Right, right.
That, you know, that's what he said when he retired. Mm-hmm. Don't focus so much on the end goal. On the end goal, work through this process and see how this process is continuing to build you up and
yeah.
preparing you.
Because mm-hmm.
even when you reach a goal, it's still going to keep pushing back.
Yeah, that's true.
Always going forward in something mm-hmm. new, you know?
And I feel like enjoying the process to some degree is actually a choice, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't like doing your scales, like, for example, as a piano player, that's what yeah. I'm saying. Is like, yeah. as you all can tell, I probably don't enjoy practicing my scales
yeah.
and arpeggios.
Yeah, yeah.
But finding ways to make it fun, like mm-hmm. if you throw on a beat or you do something mm-hmm. else, like, you can actually find ways to enjoy it if you choose mm-hmm. to try to enjoy it,
yes,
too.
That's
so
it.
That's important. That yeah. can help get you through on some of those off days.
Oh, yes, sir. Enjoy mm-hmm. the process. That's it. Mm-hmm. That might be a part of the title. I'm thinking
okay.
that might be the podcast title.
Yes.
You know, enjoying the process.
Enjoy the process.
Know? Let's go.
That's right. We'll do it.
Oh, man, dude. Austin, bro. So good to see you, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Man,
it's yeah, been good.
I'm looking forward to this year. I would love for us to work on some projects together.
Absolutely.
Get some music out, bro. Mm-hmm. Let's do this.
I'm in
dude.
Town.
Yeah, I know.
I'm available
good.
Now.
I love it.
I'll be more available after I'm done with this flight school.
Yeah,
thing.
Of course.
Yeah,
of course,
sure.
yeah. And then, you know, the next podcast, one of these episodes, dude, if we do an episode in the sky,
okay.
I'm dead serious.
Listen, this summer,
yes.
we can make that happen.
Oh, it's going to be mm-hmm. so dope. It's mm-hmm. going to be so good. Cool.
We'll make it happen.
All right, brother.
Cool.
God bless you.
You too. You
yes.
too.
And guys, remember, Creative Encounter Podcast is a part of Juwet Z Payne Music, a nonprofit through ACT International. So if you want to support this ministry, you can become a monthly financial partner so we continue the podcast, so the band and the musicians, we continue to release music that is kingdom building and changing the world for Jesus Christ. So guys, we love you so much. Tune in for next week's episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Cheers.